You can be forgiven if you think to yourself, oh my goodness, what is the preacher going to say today about that one? The story of Joseph and Jacob, his father, and his 11 brothers, Joseph's 11 brothers, is fairly familiar. And it is appropriate text for the day. Yesterday, as I was working around the house, one of Elizabeth's friends looked up at me and said, "Are you excited about Father's Day?" She clearly was. She was making preparation to do something for her dad, who she clearly loves and who loves her back. I, on the other hand, wasn't so sure that I was excited about Father's Day. I told her, I said, "Well, you know, I do have to work on Father's Day, and it's never any different." And she said, "Well, okay, I guess, yeah, man." Well, I began to think about it, and I began to think a little bit more about it, and I realized that, yes, I am excited that it's Father's Day. I'm thrilled that it's Father's Day, not because it accrues to me any particular honor, but because we're able to honor others. It's fun to be able to call your father and say, "Dad, thanks, happy Father's Day, I love you." And that's all you need to say. That makes it a good day. It makes it a wonderful day. Let's talk about Jacob for a little bit and move into modern day fatherhood, if you will. Poor Jacob has got all these sons. Actually, it's rich Jacob. What a wonderful blessing to have these 12 sons. He had apparently one son, Joseph, who was particularly adept and special. When it says in the book that he is the apple of Jacob's eye, that he's Jacob's favorite because he's the son of his old age, it's not so much that he's talking about Joseph being a youngster. He is not the youngest child, by the way. Benjamin is. Joseph is not the youngest. What is possible and more likely is that Joseph, because of his natural gifts and abilities that God gave him, because of his talent, is an exceptional person who is wise and mature beyond his years. And one gets this idea of Joseph's specialness because Jacob makes him a coat. And apparently Joseph was responsible for the sheep herding. So he was able to come to his father and relate as a good steward and son and manager would to the one who owned things, that things were not going right, that his brothers were not doing their job. And so we need to be careful here about thinking of Joseph as some kind of, you know, putting him in a bad spot, as well with Jacob or the brothers. It's just kind of the normal family stuff. It's kind of the stuff of families. I mean, let's face it, anybody here ever been envious of their brother or sister? Okay, don't raise your hands. Anybody here ever been jealous of a friend? You don't have to raise your hands, just, you know, it's the way it is. We don't like it when we see somebody else receiving glory and honor and benefits that we think they don't deserve. We don't like it. And it probably made life a little miserable for Jacob. I mean, let's face it, as the story goes on, Joseph goes missing, presumably dead at the hands of a wild animal that breaks his heart. His other sons couldn't do anything to placate him, to comfort him, to console him. And then, as all of this is happening, Joseph goes on to become second only to Pharaoh and becomes the salvation of the family, of the tribes of Jacob. He becomes their salvation through food and care in times of drought. So it's pretty tough. But in all of this, all of this, Jacob keeps in mind what Joseph said about the dreams. And in one sense, that's what fatherhood is about. Keeping in mind. God keeps us in mind. God is always aware of you, your needs, your concerns, your joys, your weaknesses. God keeps you in mind. God has the kind of mind that can tend to you without any diminishment when God tends to others. We are His children. And there is no limit to how God tends to us and keeps us in mind. And it's one of those blessings that it's helpful for us to step back and remember that God doesn't play favorites. We might think, as we look at other people, that God plays favorites. We might want to claim, as sometimes one or the other of my children do, that I love them the best. We may want to say that we're special. But the truth of the matter is, in God's economy, God's family, there is none of us who is beyond God's minding, God's attention, and indeed God's full attention and full care. That being said, it's a delight then to come to the moment to realize that we have in our lives people who apparently have been to us as fathers. It may have been our biological father, it may have been others. For my own part, I'm blessed with a wealth of men in my life, Christian men, who have been father to me, including my own, and also those who were elder brother, who fathered me in ways and helped me in ways that help shape Christ in me. And I suspect that you would have some stories that are similar, that you know of men who have stood in your life as strength, as courage, as comfort, as spiritual guide, as a man of God. This church was fathered by the concerns of people to have a Christian family. And our namesake, John and Charles Wesley, John's birthday is today. They were, in many ways, the fathers of a movement that is still going strong today with great capacity for witness to God. We need to take this and put it into context. In today's world, one has a feeling that fathers might be second-class citizens. In many ways, Father's Day is an afterthought. Mother's Day was a clear winner, because when Mother's Day was established, women were taking care of the home. They were the ones responsible for the spiritual life and nurture of the family. Men were supposed to go and work in the factories and on the farms and in the city. Women were to take care of the home. Things have changed. We almost get the idea and the feeling that Father's Day was kind of an appendage going, oh, I guess we ought to say something nice about fathers. Oh, I guess we ought to think something and have a day for them as well. Maybe that's just grumbling male, you know, grumble, grumble, envy of the women. I don't know. But the reality is that in our culture, we have forgotten what it means to be a man of God. We have forgotten what it means to be a scripturally based Christian man. And it is not admired culturally. And yet, the Christian man, the godly man, the man of God, is a necessity for us to be the people that we're called to be. And so, I invite us to think about keeping in mind this man of God idea. The natural counterbalance to envy and all that flows from envy is charity. The man of God, above all else, must be a man who can love, a man who cares for others, a man who has the time for others, and a man who is rooted in God's word and God's wisdom in a way that they can be mature and wise. Another part of the Mother's Day, Father's Day thing is, in some ways, Mother's Day is a celebration of what is. And in Father's Day, it's a celebration and an appeal for what we would like to be. Men who are able, with their strength and their courage and their faith, to support other men and women, their children, sisters, mothers, sons and daughters, with a godly presence and a godly direction. One of the pleas in the church are, where are all the men? Well, this church does better than most, and I'm thankful for each of you. I'm thankful for the lives you lead. I have been able to listen to many of you over the past 3 years and hear words of wisdom and faith and godliness. I've been able to see that God is at work in the lives of men, helping them to grow and to support others and nurture others. I've been with you as fathers have died. I've been with you as brothers have died. And I've watched, and I'm so thankful that there are godly men. And so I invite you this day, like Jacob, to keep in mind what God has done. The envy and the bitterness of the brothers eventually turned into something that was a blessing for the people of God. It eventually turned to their salvation. Joseph, as much as anybody, recognized that when they tried to apologize for the evil treatment of him. May we too be wise enough. May us as men, the ones of us who are men, be the same kind of character as Jacob, able to be wise and to keep in mind the things that are going on around us, to be godly men in the midst of what has often been an ungodly world. Let us pray.